So, from verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on by the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these 3 men do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Let's pray, guys, and ask God to help us understand this part of the Bible. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are real and living and that your word can speak to us. Father, sometimes we don't find your word easy, though, and so we ask that you would help us tonight. Give us your Spirit's power to understand this tricky part of the Bible so that we can live in truth and in touch with your reality. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to imagine this week that someone comes up to you at school and asks you the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Imagine someone asked you that question. What would you say to them? Turn to the person next to you. You've got 30 seconds. How would you answer that question? "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Off you go. Okay, I assume you finished. Share an answer, guys. What would you say? Someone said to you, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You would say, "Ask Mike." Right, interesting. Nothing you can do, it's been done already. What else? Read the Bible. What else would you say? Accept Jesus. What else might you say? Just because you get one of these doesn't mean your answer's right, by the way. What else would you say?
Be a good person.
Be a good person. There's poison in yours, Timmy. Okay. It's fascinating, isn't it? Because it looks like... Doesn't it look like in this passage, when this guy asks this question, doesn't it look like Jesus gives the answer the penny gives? And it's weird, isn't it? Have a look at it, guys. What have you got here? Verse 25, you've got an expert in the law. He's a religious person. He knows the Old Testament law inside and out. But notice his motive. On one occasion, the expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. This guy's got the wrong motive. He doesn't really want to know the answer. He's trying to test Jesus. But there's his question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I think Jesus gives a surprising answer, because he basically does what Penny does. He points them to what you should do. See that? Verse 26. What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? The guy says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with strength and all your mind. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now, why does Jesus say what's written in the law? It's really interesting, isn't it? This guy gives actually a really, really good definition or summary of the law. If you want to wrap up the whole Old Testament law, or the whole Old Testament, you can do it in these two ways. Basically, all the commandments, the Ten Commandments, Sinai, all that kind of stuff, you can wrap it up in love God and love neighbour. Okay, that's how you wrap up the whole Old Testament law. And so this guy actually gives a brilliant answer. But notice what Jesus says, verse 28. He says, you have answered correctly. All right? Jesus replied, do this, and you will live. Now have a think about it for a minute. Put yourself in this guy's shoes. Love God, love neighbour as yourself. Jesus says, do it and you can live. Do you think you can do this? Do you think you can love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Do you think you can do that? Do you think you can actually love your neighbour as yourself? Do you think you can do that? What does it mean to love God with all your heart, with all your... It means you never disobey him. It means you never cheat or steal or break any of the laws. You spend your whole entire life glorifying him. And so you're never selfish, you're never mean, you're never thinking of yourself. You're always doing what's best for God. Can you do this? I can't. And I hope you realise you can't either. In fact, the first step to receiving the inheritance of eternal life is to realise you can do nothing to get the inheritance of eternal life. There is a massive difference between do and receive. But, stupidly, this expert of the law actually thinks he can pull it off. And so you see there in verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself. In other words, he wanted to go, you know, let me just see if I can pull this off, because I think I can, so let me just clarify what you're saying here, Jesus. Okay? And so he asked Jesus, 29, and who is my neighbour? See, this expert in the law, he actually thinks he's got the whole God thing covered. But neighbour, now that could be tricky. Is my neighbour just who's next door to me, or is it someone in the same street, or is it, you know, is it other Jews, or is it bigger than that? Because, you know, maybe I could love the person next door to me, but, you know, if I start getting a bit bigger, I don't know if I can actually pull it off. So he's trying to justify himself. Who is neighbour? Jesus tells the Good Samaritan story. Now, if you've grown up in church, you probably know this story, so I'm not going to retell it to you. What is the point of the story? The point of the story is, Jesus is trying to say to this guy, let me expand your idea of who your neighbour is. Who have you got? You've got the priest. Was he a neighbour? No. You've got a Levite. Was he a neighbour? No. You've got a Samaritan who is your arch enemy. Jews and Samaritans never mixed. They never had a kind word to say about each other. They hated each other. And it was the Samaritan who was the neighbour. Well, that just blows this expert of the law's definition of neighbour right out of the water, doesn't it? Basically says this. Everybody and anybody is neighbour, particularly if you hate them. Particularly if they're your enemy, they are still neighbour. And so he says, verse 37, Jesus says right at the end, go and do likewise. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You've got to love everybody else as much as you. Can you do it? Now, it's not every day that I see someone bashed on the side of the street like this this guy, this traveller. But I tell you what, I watch the TV, and on the TV I see ads for World Vision, Shave for a Cure, Sophie D'Alessio Fund, the Drought Relief Fund, St Vincent de Paul's, the Salvation Army Red Shield Appeal, the Red Cross Association, Guide Dog Association. And if I'm to love neighbour as myself, I should be giving money to every one of those. Every time I see someone in need, I should be giving money. Do I do it? No. Do you do it? No. It's impossible to love everyone like you love yourself. And that's the whole point of the Good Samaritan story. Jesus says, you think you can love God like and love neighbour as yourself? Let me blow it out of the water. You cannot do it. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You can do nothing. That's the whole point of the Good Samaritan. The weird thing is we take the Good Samaritan and, you know, think that that's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who does good. But the whole point why Jesus told this story was to say, actually, you can't do good. It's weird, isn't it? And you think, what an insult to Jesus. Here is Jesus on the road to Jerusalem, on his daily destiny. He's going to be strung up, crucified, he's going to die, he's going to rise again, and he's going to go to heaven. But what an insult to try and bypass Jesus and say, actually, I don't need you to have eternal life. What must I do? The whole point of Luke 9-19 is Jesus is doing it all for us. What must I do? Nothing. But guess what? Guess what your friends at school think? They think a Christian is someone who is a Christian because they do good. Great, isn't it? That's what they think. They think a Christian is a do-gooder. A Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. It's not about doing. First and foremost, it is about trusting Jesus that he did it all for you. So you don't do anything. So the question I've got to ask you guys is, well, have you asked for this gift? Or are you still trying to do to inherit eternal life? In the next story, you've got Martha and Mary. It's the classic sister story, isn't it? The whinging sister, who is the doer, and she's whinging because her sister isn't doing. You ever done that at home? Mum, I'm doing the dishes, but can you tell my sister to do it? Mum, this is not fair. It's not fair. That's exactly what Martha says. She opens her door to Jesus and she goes into the kitchen and she does all the preparations. She wants to put a good meal on. And what does Mary do? She just sits down at Jesus' feet. And you think, what a slacko, what a lazy bones. And so Martha thinks, well, I'm going to go to Jesus and see if he can, you know, kick Mary away and get her to help me. That's fair enough, isn't it? You don't want to be left with all the work if you're Martha. What does Jesus say? Verse 41, have a look. It's a surprising response. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Sorry, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. What did Mary choose? She sat at Jesus' feet. Imagine it. Imagine Jesus walks into the room now. And imagine I go, Jesus is here. Quick, let's go to the kitchen and put the sausage rolls on. Let's have a party for Jesus. I really want to slap up dinner for, you know, I'm going to get the best drink and the best food. And so I race out the door. And man, Jesus here, he's got Martha and Mary have got the Lord of the universe in their lounge room. And what does Martha do? She goes into the kitchen and she prepares. What does Mary do? She sits at Jesus' feet. And so she's the one that's commended. How do we apply this to us today? Jesus probably isn't going to walk in that room unless he comes for the second time. But I think we can still sit at Jesus' feet in the way that we sit and read the Bible. That's how we sit at Jesus' feet. And the problem with me as a Christian is this, let me tell you, is that I'm often more of a doer than a sitter. In other words, I actually find in my Christian life, I find it easier to get out and do stuff, come and lead soul, than I do sometimes sitting and just reading the Bible and listening to Jesus like Mary did. Now, both are important. The most important is to sit at Jesus' feet. we still need to do, we still need to love. I'll come to that in a minute. But the most important thing is we've got to be able to sit at Jesus' feet. So the question I want to leave you guys is, which one are you better at? Assuming that you have already put your faith in Jesus, that you realise you can't do to inherit eternal life, which are you better at? Are you the kind of person like me who's a bit of an activist, a bit of a doer, you know? You actually find the doing part of the Christian life a lot easier. You know, you come to soul, you come to Bible study, you'll teach Sunday school, but when it comes to actually spending 5 minutes with Jesus in the Bible during the week, you find that really hard. That's my problem. That's what I've got to work on. Or you could be the other kind of person. You could be someone who actually enjoys reading the Bible, and you do it often, but you just find it hard to actually share your life with people and love people and serve them. Because although love doesn't inherit the kingdom for us, it is still the key marker of the Christian, isn't it? By this all men will know if you are my disciples, if you love one another. And so it is important to love like the Good Samaritan. Not to inherit eternal life, not to do anything to get it, but having received eternal life, you need to love. And notice how the Samaritan loves. Let me just quickly go back. How does he love? He takes time. He takes time out of his busy schedule. Stops. Takes money. He gives money to the innkeeper. Takes energy. He bandages the wound of the needy. Takes sacrifice, doesn't it? See, that is the love we're supposed to have for one another, guys. That costs our time and our energy and our money, our resources. Okay? But don't love to inherit. No. We're saved by grace, by receiving. But love is important. And so having received eternal life, which one are you better at? Sitting at Jesus' feet? Or loving? Doing. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Praise God, it's all done for us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. Help us to hear his truth now and live it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go chat about these things. If you guys want to stay in here, I think year 11 and 12.